Welcome to another special emergency holy sheep dip edition of the Andy Staples Show. This is becoming a very common thing, guys, in the world of college sports. Surely not Kyle, one of our YouTube viewers. Please make this make sense. What are we talking about? Well, unless you've been living under a rock for the last hour or so, USC and UCLA are in talks to join the Big Ten. I've got Scott Docterman, who covers Iowa and the Big Ten for us at The Athletic. I've got Ari Wasserman here. He's been out at Elite 11 with some, future Big Ten quarterbacks. And this is wild, guys. I mean, when Texas and Oklahoma decided to move to the SEC, it was one of those, I thought, okay, we said Texas was never going to join the SEC, and then it happened. Everything else felt on the table after that. I even wrote that the Big Ten should raid the Pac-12. I wrote that last July. And here we are. Scott, you have your ear to the ground better than almost anyone in Big Ten country. What's been going on today to kind of send some tremors out?
I guess when you look at what, you know, I know, first of all, that this is probably going to be announced potentially by the end of the day. And I do know that there are some press releases being written. It's just a matter of being sent out. The tremors are that now everybody who is not in either the SEC or Big Ten is looking for a way to get into the SEC or Big Ten or create something of more stability. I remember what you wrote last year, Andy, and you know, it's really crazy when you think about it that, you know, there are still more properties in the Pac-12 that are in that same category, meaning Oregon, Washington. There are a couple of others. I was surprised, frankly, that UCLA and USC would leave without Cal and Stanford because they've been kind of locked in arms for so long. And then what does this mean for the Big 12? Are they going to go after the Arizona schools? Colorado rejoin, Utah, would Utah and BYU be in the same conference? And then you look at the biggest property of them all, Notre Dame. Will this push Notre Dame into a league where Notre Dame USC could end up being a conference game? I think we that's fair game for speculation. And then Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida State, you know, do they push their way out of the ACC? Do they implode the whole league? This is really a fascinating development.
This feels like this has more tentacles than what happened last year. Like this feels like the truly seismic event here because it does affect everybody. Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC didn't necessarily make anybody in the ACC make a decision. Mm-hmm. And we don't know about that ACC grant of rights. It's their TV contract goes till June 30th, 2036. And allegedly, they're locked into that. But what if they disbanded the league? What if half the league or more than half the league was like, we're out. We want to disband. Can you even enforce a grant of rights at that point? Matt Castle, I don't know if it's the former USC quarterback, but you know, I imagine he would have some questions. Yeah. Ask who's next? Oregon, Washington, the Arizona schools? I think, well, let's talk to our resident Arizona grad, Ari Wasserman. I am very curious about this, Ari, because I would think Oregon and Washington would be attractive properties for the Big Ten, but also the Arizona schools. If you're the Big 12 right now, are you going to offer them like a port in the storm? It seems like you could strengthen yourself by trying to pick up the scraps here.
Yeah, like Scott Docterman got the first question and in 36 seconds just reorganize the entire sport and my head is still spinning because you know it's like that's kind of what it is right now. And it's just to me like the entire spirit of college football has always been like the anchor schools that kind of put these conferences in a position to compete at the highest level. And if you don't have one of those anchor schools, then your conference is in danger as a whole. So like now this to me, if you do that to another conference, that's two of the Power Five conferences now. And I don't know, maybe Oregon is still an anchor school or Washington's an anchor school, but you take USC out of the Pac-12 and it just seems like now you know, now that I'm at the Elite 11, we should just, you know, combine the Pac 12 and the Big 12 and call that the Elite 11, right? Or the Elite, whatever. Or maybe just like the Big Pacific. That's a pretty good name, right? But you know, I don't know, like how valuable
the thing Larry Scott kind of tried to do,
but yeah,
not really what he had in mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got Max Olson joining us too from The Athletic. And hi, Max. You and I
are we breaking down Caden Proctor's commitment to Iowa over Alabama? Is that what we're doing on this one? I see Scott's here. What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, Max? I mean, you know, biggest recruit in Iowa history as a program.
Freaking posted at noon. What was he thinking? You know,
I know. Well, yeah, right as soon as this happened. So, yeah.
Does Caden Proctor play beach volleyball at all, or is he just a football player?
He could. He plays basketball. So,
all right. So it's a little weird jumping into a podcast where I haven't heard what you guys have already hit, but I do have a couple of quick ones here. First of all, what's this mean for the bet?
I'm dead.
Oh, this is the question.
I'm out. Because the year that USC was supposed to make it, they're going to be in, like, if USC builds it the way I thought they were going to build it, and when they would be primed to just own the Pac-12, they're going to have to play at Ohio State in November, right? Like, is that how this is all setting up? So
Pretty much. So the bet, for those who don't know, is if USC doesn't make the playoff in the next three seasons, Ari owes me $1,000.
That's bull. I mean, you got to understand
it now.
Yeah. So this is what happens when you gamble, because if you do a futures bet, you can't control what happens in the. And it didn't occur to me that they were going to have to play three snowy games in November in 2 or 3 years. So I guess right now I'm like all in on USC getting it on track faster than we hoped they would, and getting there while they still have a pretty easy path to get there. But man. I'm happy that was the first thing you thought about, Max. That's why we're friends.
So it's on the list there. Yeah. So that's one. Another one was, okay, two times in 12 months. Do you think they asked Lincoln Riley if he wanted to do it this time? Like, what are the freaking chances?
I don't.
It happens again.
Wild. So we've had a couple great questions. Tyson on our YouTube channel said, what about the alliance? They shook hands and looked at each other in the eye. Remember how much we laughed at them when they formed this alliance? I'm using air quotes here if you're not watching my video. Yeah. We knew that was BS, guys, and you just proved it, because one of you just raided the other. Like,
so
there is nothing sacred.
I was talking to one of our editors, suggested like, hey, you should reach out to Bob Bowlsby today. And honestly, I can probably come up with like how he really feels on this. And that is like, A, not my problem anymore. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, sucks to suck. Like he tried to a year ago, he tried to meet George Klyavkov and talk about, you know, a strategic alliance with the Pac-12 and protecting each other. And instead, the takeaway on that was, I'm going to go off with these guys and do the alliance, you know? And so what did the alliance achieve anything? No, obviously not. I'm not saying that a Big 12 Pac-12 merger fixes everything, but shoot, that's probably one of those ideas that probably is worth coming back to now.
But if you have that merger, you need to save the bigger brands that are left, right? Like, and who would be the biggest brands in the Big 12 Pac-12 merger right now? You need to save Oregon. You need to save Washington. I mean, those two, it's like, I feel like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful for the Big 12, but the Big 12 is still in a position of the greatest need in this point, the same way they were a year ago, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when Oklahoma and Texas left, there just wasn't enough there where you thought that they were going to bolt for the Big 10, you know, an Iowa State or Kansas State or Oklahoma State. Kansas basketball is the biggest property in that league, and nobody moves for basketball. So, it's really the biggest brands are left in the Pac-12. And as we saw with the Big Ten when it expanded to Maryland and Rutgers, even though the word was out, they did it day after day. They didn't do it all at the same time. They wanted to give each school its day in the sun. So, you know, there's a possibility that maybe I'm speculating here, but there's this possibility that come 5 o'clock Central time, USC and UCLA are members. And then at noon tomorrow, it could be Oregon and Washington. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
So Chad on YouTube asks, isn't there an academic criteria that schools have to meet to join the Big Ten? Yeah, UCLA and USC meet it.
I was going to say, I think they're good.
This is who they'd want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AAU institution thing, there's 13 of them in the Big Ten currently. Nebraska got booted right before it joined. UCLA, USC, both are AAUs. Washington,
I think
Oregon,
my education was mostly during the AAU era. So my degree is still, still solid, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, you're definitely a Big Ten Husker. Max, you're not one of those.
I did like a semester in the Big 12 Huskers
in rank educations, because I think I'm definitely first, right?
Okay, so here's the piece of this that if you want to know, like, what does the Big 12 do? I mean, certainly you have to be, you know, you need to play defense in some ways, in terms of you don't want to lose Kansas or other schools from you know, if the Big 10 is going to keep going, right? But I think this is actually a chance. Now, it's probably slightly regrettable to have a leadership change right now. That probably isn't great. But this is probably the first chance for the Big 12 to play offense in a few years. And if you can start at Arizona State, which makes a lot of sense. But I wouldn't be that surprised if you saw that speculation, you know, include Utah and Colorado as well and going to 16.
Yeah, and now if you're Colorado and you left the Big 12 and pointed and laughed – how's that feel? Welcome back.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the Utah BYU thing, which does that make it more likely or less likely? Hard to tell on that.
Oh, yeah. Utah and BYU in the same league again. That, I mean, there's never been any strife involving those two in conferences ever.
Good Lord.
This is just a long way of making sure that all the most hated administrative rivalries are back together. We're going to get Oklahoma and Texas and Texas A&M back in the same conference.
Yeah.
We get BYU and Utah. Let's just like mend some fences and get these guys all back together, you know, hating each other the right way, you know.
The ACC people are nervous about what that means for what does that mean? Pittsburgh's leaving or West Virginia's coming? which one of those is true?
Now, Scott, what do you think of Lincoln Riley and Chip Kelly coming to Iowa City in November?
Oh, I think people would love it here. I want to see him hang out with the Dilly Bar guy in Minneapolis at Huntington Bank Stadium. I mean, that's where I really want to see it.
Bit of an adjustment. I'm sure you can do some scheduling stuff to try and, you know, make that a little bit easier for the West Coast schools to not have to come out and play in the snow. But, I mean, you can't totally avoid it.
I'm excited for UCLA Maryland.
UCLA Rutgers, man, the coast-to-coast battle. I'm sure they'll come up with a trophy for it. Scott, you're our resident trophy game expert. What new trophy games do we create out of this?
Oh, I think, you know, some sort of train, you know, for the Transcontinental Railroad. You could put something like Rutgers UCLA or something like that.
No. Let's, in honor of the Big Ten's new TV contract, which is going to be even richer now, it's the Dreamliner trophy. It's not the train. They're taking the luxury accommodations in the sky. If the Concorde still existed, it would be the Concorde trophy.
That would be great. Maryland and USC, what would be there? You know, you'd have a turtle and a Trojan, so you just have the T trophy, and they hold a big T, I guess, at the end of it. I don't know.
Fear the Tommy. Wow. I mean, so for folks who didn't like any of this to begin with, this has got to be the nightmare scenario, because what we have here, and we said this last year, where the SEC and the Big Ten were forming their own orbits. They're getting too big and they were forming their own orbits because they're too rich, too powerful compared to everybody else. And it was going to suck off other programs into their orbit. Now we're seeing it. Is it in? I know people say, oh, well, this means four super conferences. No. There's two super conferences. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when it reaches its final form. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but this feels defensive. Well, the LA Times is reporting that USC instigated this move, which you're never going to hear that a conference instigated a move, because that would allow the members of the old conference to sue. But for the Big Ten to then say, yes, let's do this, it's a defensive move, because Ari and I, we talked about this on the podcast probably 2 weeks ago. We had a question from a listener about if there were an SEC super conference, who'd be in it. And we said, you know, would Ohio State say we think more like you guys than we do like these guys, so maybe we'll go. Everybody acts like that's so far-fetched. It wasn't. And that's why the Big Ten is doing this. to make sure its name brands want to stay in the Big Ten and that they feel like it has the best future.
One of my fears kind of when the divisional structure was put in place was the top heavy nature, not necessarily competitively, because other than the championships, it's been fairly even in the regular season, but in blue blood status and priority, it tilts so heavily to three programs in the East that it, at some point, if they become, we can actually live without the rest of the league and be okay, then that's what would eventually split it up. So I think in some ways, yes, this is a really good defensive issue, but, you know, kind of circling back to the alliance discussions, I think at first that served as a counterweight to the SEC and it served its purpose there. But back in January, there was heavy discussion. The Big Ten was going to drop to 8 games to move into an alliance matchup or 2 alliance matchups every year. Then once they started negotiating with their media rights partners, they realized our property is so much more valuable than either one of theirs and it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, last year there were 72 games that hit 3.5 million viewers. 32 involved the Big Ten, 31 involved the SEC. But, you know, there were only 9 in the Pac-12 and 4 in regular season action. And the ACC had 0.
Scott, they shook hands.
Yeah, there was nothing signed, was there? Just like everybody asked at the time.
There's another one I want to get to, but another fallout of that I find interesting. But Eli on the YouTube channel has another really interesting thought. Because Eli's thinking like a TV programmer. I like that. I think Eli's got a future in this business. Any chance we get Big After Dark, Purdue UCLA kicking off at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time? Bring it on.
There's another. I love that. There's another piece of this. I don't know if you guys have hit on it already, but I think today's news probably blows up the playoff conversation.
Yes, because that's what I was going to get to.
Why would these leagues now agree to anything other than at-larges?
Right. The Big Ten no longer needs to be
guaranteed. They're in the same boat as the SEC now. They're not going to agree to auto bids for conference champs.
So the ACC, which was the leading instigator in blocking the proposed plan, now, the Big Ten was involved in blocking it, too, and I think we kind of know why now. But the ACC was saying, well, we got to have these guaranteed spots. There was going to be a guaranteed spot for the ACC champ because the top 6 conference champs were going to make it. And the ACC probably could have still been one of the top 6 conferences. Now, the ACC is thrown further into chaos and further into doubt because if I am Clemson, if I am Florida State, if I am North Carolina, if I am Virginia Tech, NC State, I'm looking at this and going, what's the future for us here? What is this? And if they're stuck together till 2036, they're going to be real mad at each other by the end of it.
No question. I mean, the revenue part of it, they've fallen behind anyway, but now you're going to see, I mean, the Big Ten has not officially signed its media rights agreement, which you would expect now that they've added the second biggest market in the country, which means they have 4 or 5 out of the top 7 within its footprint, that number is going to be astronomical when compared to the ACC. And now the Pac-12 and Big 12 are way, way behind, and they've got to figure out a way to catch up very quickly. So the ACC is going to be in defense territory. And I can only imagine that that there is going to be a lot of conversation about probably getting into the SEC simply and fighting the grant of rights in court because they just can't, individual schools can't afford to fall behind, or it's a whole generation of being left in the back.
Right. Clemson and Florida State would make a lot of sense in the SEC. I think NC State and Virginia Tech also would. North Carolina and Virginia make a ton of sense in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And I know people hate when we talk like this, when stuff like this happens, but guys,
it's the only reasonable response. Yeah.
Texas and Oklahoma moved last year. USC and UCLA are moving now. Like, it's happening.
Let me ask you guys this, and I don't know if I'm like 25 steps down the line. Max, you always get really excited when I do this. You're already like leaning.
Can Ohio State recruit California better now?
Yeah, I think probably not. if we get to a point, and I saw somebody on Twitter like create fake schedules of like what super conferences would look like, does it entirely shift like what we view as a successful season for these teams? And like, are we like because I saw a question here about the Big Ten and the Pac-12, or I mean, and the SEC expansion and what it means for the playoff discussion. And it's just like, are teams going to be more like NFL teams now, where you just try to go 8-3 or 12 and, you know, or 9-3 and, you know, win your division or win your conference, and, you know, the top four teams just get to an advance, and like the entire idea of like perfection and having to be undefeated? Cause like, we're going to get to a point if these conferences happen where it's going to be impossible to go undefeated or to only lose once, the way it kind of is in the NFL right now.
10 games, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. The best teams in the country, I think maybe in 5 years might be 9-3. Mm-hmm. If it gets to that point, I'm very curious, like if that shifts your like appreciation of the way that college football is consumed right now.
Well, I know you always look at that anyway. In terms of, does that make the games matter less, right? Does it make the big games matter less?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, because I always kind of thought that college football had a playoff feel to it when there were close games in the fourth quarter in the middle of the year. And like now, if teams are just, you know, playing, like if Alabama's schedule has LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Georgia and Alabama on it, and just like, how could you possibly expect them to not lose two or three games? Even the best teams in the country are going to lose two or three games, which then kind of numbs us to the importance of losses. But also, you can't hold these teams to a standard of perfection anymore.
It's all going to be about the playoff, whatever the playoff format is, who gets in and how you perform in it. And I think in some cases, you know, what does this do? Does, you know, there was that discussion a couple of months ago with the SEC about, we'll just do it ourselves and it'll be a well-watched, interesting playoff. Maybe the Big Ten and the a growing Big Ten and growing SEC would say, we're going to have our own little mini playoff, and then we'll play each other for
that. That's exactly right. Champs play. And in fact, before we started this podcast, I was talking to an athletic director, and that was exactly what that person said was, that SEC only playoff doesn't sound so dumb anymore, does it? And because they do it, the Big Ten does it, and they put their champs against each other, and that's the playoff. If it goes that way, that's, I mean, I don't think that's good for the sport necessarily, because I would like it to be a more national proposition. Yeah. But here's the thing: the Big Ten taking USC and UCLA is an attempt at making it a national proposition. Mm-hmm.
They're now in two time zones behind them, you know, where they were. So, yes, I think that's and this all kind of comes back in some ways to the Big Ten's championship week proposal in 2020 during the COVID year, where they were trying to match up. And that's kind of lived, and it's kind of been really fascinating. But, you know, maybe that's something that is incorporated as these leagues get bigger and we see, you know, rivalries shrink up, that maybe the last week of the year before the playoffs, it's like, hey, we're all going to figure out a different matchup and play it somewhere. But I think the possibilities are endless. But to me, the one school that's the most fascinating going forward is Notre Dame. This force Notre Dame into, hey, we've got to go to a conference? And the ACC just doesn't look that welcoming anymore. And
if it's going to a conference, it would be the Big Ten.
It'd be the Big Ten. And, hey, you could see conference games against USC and Michigan with regularity. I mean, sign me up, you know, that way they don't lose a big rivalry.
And there's like multiple ways to look at this too, of just because, you know, everybody in the past year who has been the anti NIL and all this stuff think that the sport is being ruined now that there's a monetary influence with the players. Right. And it's like, you really got to think big picture here of like the monetary influence that's actually shifting the sport, probably in a more dramatic way.
It's been shifting it for 40 something years.
Yeah. Basically, decades.
More than that. Since the Supreme Court decision.
And the question
not,
is
not the one last year, but the one in 1984.
Does the regular fan like where this is headed? And I would argue that they probably don't.
I would say that the ones in the SEC and Big Ten love it, and I would say that the ones outside of it don't. I think there's a fear about NIL and how it could alter the competitive level among schools, but I would say that if this is becoming a divide and you're in one of the two have conferences, you've got to be excited I mean, you know, here in Iowa, it would be, there's an excitement that, okay, you got to play in the Rose Bowl stadium, you know, more than once every 30 years, you know.
Well, what, and what is it, what does that mean for an Iowa for, well, I mean, Iowa's a level above like a Purdue or a Minnesota, at least recently. What does that mean for them in comparison to, say, an Oklahoma State now? Or an Oregon, if Oregon doesn't wind up in one of these. I still think Oregon might have a shot. Washington might have a shot if the Big Ten wants to do more. But what happens if, what happens if, say, the best of what's left in the Pac-12 merges with what's in the Big 12, and that's a league? I mean, well, Iowa is going to be a much wealthier program than any of those.
And I don't know if you guys already hit on this, Scott. Like, if you, if the Big Ten were going to 20, what do you think, like, the wish list should be?
I think you, you start with Notre Dame, and I think you start, then you go with Oregon and Washington, two programs that generate more than $90 million a year. So they're in the same footprint financially as Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin. And then, you know, what's that put you at? 19-ish? Then, hey, maybe it's Virginia and North Carolina. You know, I think they would make a great pairing because of their AAU institutions. You cover kind of the upper South that way. You're already in the Washington, D.C. market. You're in North Carolina and getting into the Charlotte. I mean, I think you'd be pretty happy there. But that would be to me.
So, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just so crazy to talk like this, right? Because it's just like – it's not, by the way, wrong. Andy, are there any, I assume there are no, like, obviously last summer we confronted this reality that, like, no, Oklahoma doesn't have to take care of Oklahoma State and bring them with on anything.
Right.
Is there any dynamic to that with any of these Pac-12 schools?
Well, I think
Oregon State, UCLA would have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't UCLA kind of in that category a little bit?
I think UCLA is getting taken care of by USC here.
I think so.
I would assume Stanford and Cal are a pair. But I am curious. I don't know about the Washington schools.
Does the rest of the Pac-12 kind of pair off now in some ways, just the way it's set up?
Well, have you guys thought about, like, the most valuable, like, just, I don't know, Scott's more of a guru when it comes to, like, how much money each program generates and stuff, but just, like, the sexiness factor of the programs that remain that aren't in or either joining the SEC or the Big Ten. Like, what are the most attractive ones left? Is Notre Dame the most attractive one out of all of them? You've got Clemson, you've got Miami, you've got Florida State, you've got Washington, you've got Oregon, you've got North Carolina, you've got Virginia Tech. Am I forgetting anybody massive there?
No, let me, David on the YouTube channel says, if it's about money, Cal and Stanford are in the number six TV market. That doesn't mean anything. Columbia is in the number one TV market. It's about how much of the market you command, and Cal and Stanford don't command much of it. So that's not the issue. It's what Ari is talking about. What brand carries the most weight? It's definitely Notre Dame.
Isn't, like, the idea of the local television market, like, dead too? It's like, I don't know. I spend all day on my Saturdays watching college football games of teams that are nowhere near where I live. So, I mean, I know
Green Bay is a pretty small market, yet the Packers make a pretty big impact nationally.
But, like, I don't know if this is just fantasy land, but, like, is it too late? And I guess, you know, there's so much to this than that, but I think I just named enough leftovers to create the bones of a third mega conference, right?
Right.
You know,
like, if you put all those together and then you added, like, Arizona State and some of the ancillary pieces, you could create a third one that could maybe rival the SEC and the Big Ten, right? Or are those teams just going to get ripped apart until there's only two?
They could be very competitive on the field, I think. And I think financially, some of the better ones can be in good shape. It's just when you look at, you know, again, how much do they command of the market? I think that's a great point. You look at Philadelphia, for instance. Temple is not the most popular team in that market collegiately. It's Penn State. And so Penn State kind of gets that market, which is one of the five biggest or six biggest in the country. Out west, Washington dwarfs Washington State in revenue. Oregon and Oregon State are a little closer, but still, Oregon's got a much heavier place. And then finally, you look at the Bay Area, which is one of the biggest in the world. I mean, when it comes to finances and Silicon Valley and what have you, Cal and Stanford can't fill their stadiums. So do you get anything from them joining that? Whereas we know in the South and throughout the Midwest and even in Texas that people in Alabama, you know, they may not live in Tuscaloosa, but they're huge Alabama fans. And so, you know, TCU is probably the most popular team in Dallas. I mean, maybe Max can correct me, but TCU and SMU are in that area, probably behind Texas and Texas A&M. Am I right on that? Maybe even Oklahoma.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So what's the most interesting team to you guys that's like not in either of those conferences right now? Like, I don't know, like
team. What do you mean team?
Or program? I mean, like, just in terms of like what could be left over. Like, is Clemson? Like,
Notre Dame is sort of the Dame is the key to a lot of stuff, and so that's one. Would Notre Dame want to stay independent? Obviously, Notre Dame wants to stay independent. We know the history there. Is it possible now? I think that's the question. Oregon is interesting to me, and then the schools that take football very, very seriously in the ACC: Clemson and Florida State and Virginia Tech. What do they want to do? And the ACC has been one we've just not talked about it because we said we think that Grand Rights is strong and that they can't get out. But everything feels completely different now.
You know, could you see a alliance necessarily with the ACC?
I love that. We're going back to it, baby.
Okay, laugh this man out of the room right now.
All right, alliance. We'll go with the bowl parlance and go alliance to coalition. Yes. Coalition between maybe among the ACC, Big 12, and Pac 12 leftovers. You know, if it's, let's say, two more Pac 12 teams leave, could they all kind of work together, or is that ship sailed and is the Big 12 ready to, hey, we're on poach mode now?
Well, then I guess that's the question. I'll come back to the analogy I used earlier. So do you guys look at this right now in the, I know it's probably too soon to know truly, but do you guys look at this right now? And when you talk about those other three Power Five leagues, are they in a situation to play offense, or are they in a situation to play, to sit back and see who's leaving?
So I think the Big 12 should be playing offense right now. I think they can. They have the flexibility to do it because they have a TV deal coming up. They do have new members coming, but they're not there yet. And
the Pac 12 grant of rights expire sooner.
Exactly. So they can get those people in and say, hey, look, we can make something happen. And this is the part that scares you for the ACC. And you know, Max, you just wrote about Brett Yormark, the new commissioner of Big 12. And golly, welcome to the business, buddy.
Yeah, Brett Yormark, he starts the job on August 1. How much shit's going to happen between now and August 1, guys?
I don't know. He may need to start a little sooner. God. But so let's say they got that the Big 10 didn't invite Oregon and Washington. And I still am not out on that idea. But let's say the Big 10 does not invite Oregon and Washington, does not invite the Arizona schools, does not invite Cal and Stanford. If you're the Big 12, do you just say, come on, come. And then the TV deal you make might be better than the ACC's at that point.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
without Oregon and Washington.
No, I'm saying if Oregon and Washington are in that bunch.
Okay. I thought you meant if they went. Okay, yeah. I'm not
closing the door on the Big Ten taking those two, but they got to figure out if they're not going, they got to figure something out.
Yeah. I think if you're the Big 12 right now, you have your eyes on six schools and you're willing to settle
Utah.
For four.
We got
to
get Utah too.
What I would do if I'm the Big 12 is if Oregon and Washington are free agents, you have the contract signed 5 minutes ago, or at least the drawn up. If not, if they go to the Big Ten, let's say, then I think that the Rocky Mountain area schools, the Arizonas, Colorado, and Utah, you invite them, and then you become a 16-team league, and then it shows stability. I think it's already going to be even by itself a fantastically fun league.
Right.
You know, Cincinnati. I mean, there's going to be some fun ass games.
But you throw the Arizonas and Colorado and Utah in, because that assumes Oregon and Washington are off to the Big Ten. Yeah. Well, as a 16-team league, I like that league, and I have no problem with that league's champ making a 12-team playoff as an automatic bid.
Yeah,
that's right. And you know, it's important to think back a few months ago. Like, I think one of the things that like kind of cut through all the noise here in the past few months was, do you guys remember the Navigate projections that essentially suggested that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be making twice what the other Power Five leagues make within, I think, by 2026.
Yeah.
You see where the Big 12 is at, and they're projected fifth out of five, obviously, at that point in time. Obviously, the number on the Big Ten probably looks a little different today than it did yesterday, but I would think the Big 12 has a chance to move up in the world here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If they move fast and if they're targeted.
But their board's going to have to get their act together on this because, you know, Bowlesby was able to move swiftly on the four new additions once they agreed. Once the Pac-12 decided they were not going to expand, which remember, they made that decision last summer in going to the Alliance. Once they did that, the Big 12 stuck together and Bowlesby was able to move very, very quickly to add four new schools. Now, can the Big 12 strike like that when they're in the middle of a leadership transition? Can the board get on the same page about these things? I'm sure there's already been discussions about those four schools in the past or specifically the Arizona schools. But in terms of the Big 12 striking now, like it's probably a little bit of a question of like, how do we go about doing that?
Well, and here's another question. Cal and Stanford, obviously the Big 10 would consider them an academic fit. Are they worth taking from an athletic standpoint is the question.
For the Big 10.
Only if that's the only way you can get the Los Angeles area schools, then you would. Because otherwise you've got two more mouths to feed that are really financially on the same level as a Maryland and a Rutgers.
That's what I was going to just say. Like, didn't the Big Ten already whiff once? You know, I think, I don't know, like maybe Rutgers and Maryland are like the luckiest schools on the face of the earth right now for finding their way into a conference that was...
I got a golden ticket. Yeah. Yes, it is
it was
very
like,
Willy
it was
Wonka.
Negotiated about like television markets at a time where those were important. Now, like 2 or 3 years after they signed in the Big Ten, it no longer became important. Now they're in the Big Ten as the Big Ten becomes two super conferences. Like, you know, they are the two luckiest programs in the entire college world, I think. But doesn't the Big Ten, Scott, and you correct me if I'm wrong, have to be very careful about that happening again? And do you think they learned from that?
Yeah, because those two teams, when they were added, I think you probably remember it too, Ari, is just there wasn't a lot of support for that among the fans or the even the administrations of schools. It was all a business move, 100%. It was, and even with Maryland, there wasn't a lot of interest in going to the Big Ten. In fact, you know, I had officials tell me from the Big Ten that, you know, they could roll out the balloons and stuff for Rutgers and for Nebraska, but not for Maryland because the fan base was not interested in that at that time. And I think if you're looking at what does Stanford bring from viewership, from, you know, butts in the seats, because they do share up to 30% of their home gates with the league and among the schools, they cycle it out. Cal and Stanford just don't do that. I mean, they're in a different tier and they're, you know, probably if you were to start over today, you look at a Northwestern or a Vanderbilt and they're probably in the same type of boat. So yeah, I think they have to be careful. If you're going to add for a reason, and obviously UCLA and USC do that, and that's why if there's two more coming, you got to go with the heavy hitters, which is Washington and Oregon.
Hey Max, if you're the commissioner of the Big 12 right now, and we're going to assume for the time being that Washington and Oregon are still on the board, who is the first program that you're calling?
It's funny. You keep saying this like it's like it's teams and programs, but it's still schools. We're still making these decisions on
what
schools.
Did I say?
No, it's, but I think Ari's right.
Well, no, it's just easy to talk about this stuff teams. Like it's fantasy football, you know? Like,
well, that's what we're doing.
That's what they're doing.
It is. Certainly you have to find out what is Oregon planning to do here and what is Washington planning to do. Like that totally makes it. I was going to, the more we talk through that, I'm just like, I'm wondering, like, so today, from now till the end of the day, like, what is George Klafkov supposed to do? Like, what is the move you make here?
Run back to MGM and just live in Aria and go down to Javier's for nachos and drown your sorrows in jalapeno margaritas? You know,
take a quick look at your PTO, see how much you got, just go away for a little bit?
Live the life that I work every single day of my life to try to achieve one day? Yeah, that.
Yes, basically. I mean... This ain't what he signed up for. Well, it is, but it isn't. And that's the problem. I mean, we didn't.
But the move, obviously, like the move is not to like go get Mountain West schools, right? Like, I mean, what are you supposed to do to strengthen your conference?
The only thing you can do is try to is try to strip the best of the Big 12, which you could also do. Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Do you take Iowa State? Do you take Kansas? You take Kansas probably. You want the national basketball champs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so what beyond that, if he doesn't really have any moves to make here, beyond like, so that's probably where this battle starts, I suppose.
You form an alliance with the ACC.
I'm ready to get hurt again.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to keep making fun of that alliance until the day I die, because there were people who were like, see, they formed an alliance, and we were all laughing at them.
Yeah.
Because we should have been laughing at them, because we knew that one of them was eventually going to stab the other one in the heart. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Pretty a lot faster than you'd think.
In the history, in the entirety of human history, has there ever been a handshake deal between two entities with this much money on the line that was just like everybody agreed, like did what they said they were going to do, like in any regard?
No, this is like Ribbentrop and Molotov back in 38, but you know, with the German Russians. But you know, this one is just way out there. I mean, the alliance was what it was, and we all saw it for that, but nobody else did.
All it was a backdrop on a press conference.
It was, hey guys, we're locking arms. We're showing that we're going to battle the SEC. And once the Big Ten figured out it's bigger than the alliance, it's bigger than the other two leagues, and it's on the same level as the SEC in prominence anyway, if not on the field, it's off to do what it's doing right now. It's going to make more money than both of those other two leagues combined, and now it's taking its best properties, so it doesn't need to play the alliance matchups when they're all under the Big Ten roof.
We had quite a few people join us here in the last few minutes. So it is me, myself, Andy Staples, Scott Docterman, who covers Iowa and the Big Ten for The Athletic, Max Olson, national college football writer for The Athletic, Ari Wasserman, national recruiting writer / gambling connoisseur
addict
/ guy who's going to owe me some money. By the way, breaking news on our bet, Ari, a regular listener texted me and mentioned, I need to go back and listen to our original show where we made that bet that USC would make the playoff in the next 3 years. You said they would. I said they wouldn't. I was under the impression the stakes were $1,000, but apparently you said $10,000 first.
Oh, yeah? Okay, well, let me
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
Okay, go back and listen to it. If it's 10 grand, then I'll get the money. I'll get it for you. What do you got there? A little popcorn, Max?
I should have led with this. I had my popcorn ready for this today.
Just your popcorn ready. That's exactly right. We are talking USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten, but obviously that's not the only thing that's going to happen. This will be an earthquake that triggers a lot of tremors down the line. More so, I would imagine, than Texas and Oklahoma. Because like when Texas and Oklahoma moved to the SEC, you saw an endpoint. You said, okay, if the Big 12, if nothing happens with the ACC and the Big 10 doesn't go after the Pac-12, then the only thing that's going to happen is they're going to take some schools to refill the Big 12, and the conferences that lose schools will backfill, which is what happened. This is completely different because the Big 12 is in flux, has a TV deal coming up, needs to do something. The Pac-12 just got torn apart. The ACC now looks to be very much in jeopardy, even though they have that grant of rights. Because if I'm Clemson, if I'm Florida State, if I'm any of the other schools that want to compete for national titles, I'm looking at it like, wait a second. We're going to be so far behind the Big Ten and the SEC now. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting to see where this goes from here. And Ari just asked the question right before I so rudely cut him off. What does college football look like in 20 years? Wrong answers only.
Well, everybody's tried to say that there are going to be 4-16 conferences, which I always laughed at because it's just not built that way. But I think it's you might see 2 28-team conferences, or you know, 3 conferences where the SEC and Big Ten have 24 teams, and then somebody else kind of has the rest of the best. That's what I could see. Not
do y'all think this could go AFC NFC?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
down the road,
I was kind of hoping last year. I mean, it seemed like that felt like a logical conclusion last year when Texas and Oklahoma moved, but this feels like the only conclusion now.
And then you have four mini conferences within the mini divisions within the
Something
conferences
like
they each play to win their division. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there's a
they would still call it the Big Ten, even though it's
tripled in size. That's the other question.
What about the jumbo size 10?
Yeah, the Big Ten.
I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, but I think you could do how would it be 60 something teams and both split them up and then do a little mini playoff on both sides and then play a college football Super Bowl.
Basically, and kind of what the Super Bowl was originally intended to be, the AFL NFL, but then they could play, but they could also play. I guess it'd be more AFC and NFC because they could play each other during the regular season. And then at what point?
So then,
is those merge?
A group of five championship essentially?
I think
in that vision of yours, is that how it goes?
Yeah, I think there's just either a new division or the FCS gets bigger.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference. I mean, if we're talking group of five and FCS, the upper level of the FCS is every bit as good as the G5s. I mean, you know, North Dakota State could probably compete in the Mountain West and win it with regularity. And there's a handful of
especially
schools
with the extra scholarships.
Yeah. If they were
you guys
up
ever
to 85.
Fear that as things get bigger and logistics keep becoming a nightmare, because we haven't said this on the show, but like, is there going to be a 9 a.m. kickoff when USC plays at Maryland? Like the logistics of it is going to be a tough thing to handle. But like, do you ever wonder, like, are rivalries and things that we love about the sport going to slowly but surely start falling because it's just logistically going to be a nightmare?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point.
We've already seeded the geography piece of this.
Yeah. And the geography is what it is. But I just mean, like, you make an AFC, NFC. I don't know how you preserve all of the rivalries that already exist in a new world like that.
No,
that's
I mean,
all.
Here's the thing. It's not going to be that. It's going to be something completely different. And this is the part we kept talking about, because we would come up with these wacky ideas about how this could work and how this would all fit together. But all those wacky ideas were to try to preserve something that didn't look exactly like the NFL. It may be that this looks exactly like the NFL, which, listen, the NFL is the most popular sport in America. So I get that, but I don't know that the same people will want to like it. And it will be, I don't know if it will be as popular. Maybe it will. Maybe I'm just, you know, chicken littling it. But I do think part of what makes college football fun is the fact that it is a mess, that it is non-standard, that it's asymmetrical, it doesn't fit everything. And that's gone. It's just not going to happen from this point forward.
To add another layer to this, so what did you say, 2030, Ari?
Yeah, just, you know, 20 years on the line.
Whatever. Okay, 20 years on the
35, yeah.
Okay. Is it possible that if we get into an AFC, NFC way of going about this or whatever, do you think that one of the splits will just be at this level, players are paid under contract, and at the lower level, they're still, you know, student athletes?
That's a great question, because how are they going to – it depends on really collective bargaining.
We're talking far down the road and working through that. Obviously, that's its own massive issue.
I mean, you think about the last 10 years, and I remember 10 years ago when Jim Delaney brought up paying the full cost of attendance, and people were flipping out because in Texas it might mean $5,000, and in Kansas it might mean $3,500, you know, just stupid things like that, or laundry money. And so, yeah, I think collective bargaining is going to be part of this at some point, because, you know, with that, whether it's to get NIL under some sort of regulation or what have you, and maybe it is going to be the difference, the separator, because even Gene Smith last month, when we were talking to him in Chicago, was like, we need to get football out of the NCAA's purview. So maybe this is the way to structure major college football and then have second level college football just be separate. Yeah. And
well,
what they can do.
Brian, who's watching the show on YouTube, just mentioned that, you know, maybe this is a football only thing, and then you have the other stuff kind of work together. None of the other traditional college conference ramifications, which is logical. You know, you have a group that governs football, and then you have the other sports in their own groups, which we've seen. Like, did you guys know that Louisiana Lafayette is like the Alabama of college water skiing? So that's not an NCAA sport. It has its own governing body and all that. You could have your own governing body for football and then have...
Do they have water skiing in the Pac-12? Because that could be a good fit.
That could be... It could be big. It could be big.
So does Louisiana Lafayette like recruit nationally then?
They recruit internationally. Like people...
International.
Oh. Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette Saban's and Louisiana Monroe. Yeah. Louisiana Lafayette and Louisiana Monroe are both big water skiing schools. So like... So you're some water skiing prodigy in Germany and like... You're landing in Monroe, Louisiana, like, all right, let's go. So
we always talk about like how crazy would it be for a kid who grew up in Hawaii to go play at Nebraska? Didn't that happen last year's class? And it's like, can you imagine?
Yeah, the kid went right back home, but yeah,
he did.
Okay. Yeah,
some kid that grew up in Germany was landing in Lafayette, Louisiana, ready to ride his water skiing glory. That's fun.
Yeah, no, that guy transferred to
the
Hawaii.
LA Times is reporting what a shocker, this does not include beach volleyball. The beach volleyball teams are not moving. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, when it gets to the critical mass that we all are now thinking it's going to get to, you could have volleyball leagues of schools that are that look more like traditional conferences, schools that are peer institutions that are near each other. And football is in a different kind of league.
So would you buy that, Andy? Is football just essentially being a semi-pro league in that future?
I think so. I mean they've already made it that. Mm-hmm. They've made it that without paying the players a salary, and they just have to do it while paying the players a salary. The only thing that would change that is the NFL changes its age limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny the way these things all kind of line up, because that was having conversations with people around the Big 12 hire. You know, they went outside the box or, you know, outside the industry with their hire and even with their finalists. And I think their board felt like this is essentially pro sports in a lot of ways. And so we need to sort of, you know,
act that way. Yeah.
Act that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. At least they're acknowledging it. At least they're being honest about it now. Before, they were doing it and making all these decisions as if they were running pro sports franchises. But
well,
Andy,
they would hire
anything.
People to just try and preserve the past, right? At the NCAA level and on down.
Yeah. So now I guess what this means is the people in charge are at least acknowledging what they've done and the decisions they've made have pushed them to this point. And yeah, it's different. And there was a comment much earlier in the show. One of the folks watching said, is Kevin Warren the one your girl not warned you not to worry about? Like, yeah, the Big Ten should have always been that. Like, the thing with lots of money that everybody wants to be a part of, yeah, you should be worried about that.
Well, girls don't like that stuff. money, desirability. I have a question, just, you know, there's so much inside baseball stuff here with money and institutions and all the stuff that you guys are experts on, even way more than I am. But like, we are all generally fans of the sport. We enjoy consuming it, right? That's why we do this for a living. Are you guys at all in the same boat with just fans in general of just like worried about the sport being just changed for the worse permanently? And like, I know we always mock Andy, like, if you're afraid of change, then you're just a loser that can't figure it out. Like, you know, but like, is there a certain point where you're just like,
I feel like, damn, where the original vision is too bastardized?
It's just, yeah, it's just
you,
like,
you can,
that,
you can definitely change too much and kill the product.
Like, are you ever a fear that this product is being beaten to death?
You know, I think the biggest fear with NIL is that there's just too much money going to in too many different places that's unregulated. And I always thought that, okay, the first year or two, it's going to be Wild Wild West and then it'll stabilize. And, you know, somebody, let's say Miami, bought all these players essentially, and then they go 4-8 next year, or 6-6, then and show, hey, that's not the way to do it. I do have a fear. My biggest fear is the losing of the rivalries. Because we've seen some of that anyway. Now it's kind of strange. You see Texas A&M getting back together. You might see a Utah BYU if some of this happens. But you know, I've advocated a lot for this, and the Big Ten side is what they do with their schedule is, you know, with three teams, there's a discussion whether it's going to be two permanent rivals or three. I've been on the three side of things, partly because Iowa has three rivals. It really should.
Hey Scott, it's a 3-6 now because of 16 teams.
There you go. Perfect. Absolutely. But
just amazing the things we waste our time on, you know?
Yeah. Well, assuming it's 16, if it's 18, it's a totally different deal.
Right.
But Joe mentioned, by the way, the potential Big Ten championship locations. When's the first one at SoFi? That's happening now, right?
The Rose Bowl.
Dude, Big Ten title game at SoFi would happen.
But that the attachment with the Rose Bowl would always be there, even if you're not officially playing.
Well, wait, okay. I just and forgive me for being the stupid one who just caught this. Let's say the Rose Bowl is not part of the playoff anymore because the bowls are useless and worthless and didn't need to be in the playoff in the first place. Now, if the Big Ten championship is at the Rose Bowl, you've preserved tradition, you've managed to keep it important. And now it just funnels into whatever the thing you're doing after that.
Mm-hmm. That's a casualty of the sport. I think we can all live with, you know,
no, but what I mean is now they can do that. Now they have that. And I would imagine that's so when they talk about the playoff, when they come together to argue about what the playoff format's going to be, do they have to care about the Rose Bowl now? The Pac-12 is irrelevant. Doesn't matter what they think. And then the Big Ten can kind of do its own special thing in the Rose Bowl anyway.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think now's that time. The Rose Bowl's been the only one that's really kind of hung out there. Otherwise, you're just playing games at stadiums. I mean, all these domes, what's the difference other than location on the outside between playing it at Jerry World or the Superdome or in Atlanta? There's nothing. So it's really about just the only stadium that's ever mattered is the Rose Bowl because the sunset over the San Gabriel Mountains. It's like Augusta Nationals. Yeah. As long as you could play a game there, the bowl game itself doesn't matter.
Yeah, now you could have your Big Ten tournament with your Big Ten championship on January 1st in the Rose Bowl, and the SEC has its SEC tournament with its SEC championship on January 1st in the Sugar Bowl, and then the following Monday they just play a game against the two winners. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, bada boom. You just had because you could have eight teams participating from each league in their own tournament. So you just created a 16 team playoff right there.
I'm down with it.
Ari, I'm still thinking about your question. I think it is probably a good question to ask right now. Like, do you guys think like if right now, if you were Jim Phillips or George Kliavkoff or Brett Yarmark, do you think the response to this right now, if you were putting a statement out tonight, is probably a combination of this is bad for college athletics and additionally, like we are open for business?
Yeah, how do you do that? Like,
I don't even think you can say that this is bad for college athletics part because you've all been a part of it. Like Jim Phillips was an AD in the Big Ten when they set these wheels in motion years ago. Like they've all been party to this. And now George Kliavkoff, I don't think he should put out a statement. I told you what he needs to do. Like Aria, Javier's, jalapeno margarita, chips and salsa, fetal position. Like that in that order. That's what I would do if I were him. But you have
could
to
you imagine if like a commissioner just said like I quit. Oh, I lost UCLA. UCLA, I quit.
Yeah, well,
and the His ACC
would be fine, I think.
The ACC was the had its own death match with the Big East,
and won.
It took Virginia Tech, Miami, and Boston College wanted Syracuse at the time. Then when that was starting to fade, then it took Syracuse and Pitt. So yeah, there's really no room to cry about. And then part of the reason why Maryland is in the Big Ten is because when everything was going on with Penn State and Jerry Sandusky, they went after Penn State. And I think there was a little bit of vengeance in Jim Delaney to say, all right, well, we're going to take one of your charter members then, and which is why they propped up Maryland. And Maryland still owes the Big Ten $120 million. it borrowed up to the point of being a vested member for its first 6 years until it became a vested member.
It's about to be able to make those debt payments when the new TV money starts rolling.
Exactly.
I was gonna say, I think they'll be fine in the long run.
In the long run, yeah.
Yeah. Man. I just thought I was going to drive to a high school football field and just watch some recruits today, guys.
I was on vacation.
Are you going to talk to Malachi about playing in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Max and I were going to be talking about the 2009 Big 12 championship game today. Yeah. We were going to be doing a rewatch party episode. We were so excited. It was going to be brilliant. It was going to be so much fun. Man. And here we are.
It was simpler times, Andy. It was 2009.
3 hours ago.
And it was it was going to be 2009 game in which we were going to talk about a conference title game between Big 12 members, Texas and Nebraska. and, of course, months later, Nebraska would meet with – or soon after, Nebraska would
meet
with
Jim Delaney. Like a month later, they're meeting with Jim Delaney, yeah.
We would set all this craziness in motion, you know.
Yeah,
this is
one of these days, the day will go according to plan.
So Mac Brown waving his finger. One
too much concern about the ACC's deal to 2036. ESPN owns the ACC and the SEC. They could rearrange things any way they want. Not exactly, because if you're North Carolina or Virginia and you would be headed to the Big Ten, you're not worried about how they get rearranged in the ACC and the SEC. So that's the weird part of this. That is a legitimate concern, and we don't know how that's going to shake out. We have no idea if that thing got challenged, what would happen, or if there would be enough schools that wanted to be left in the ACC to challenge it.
Well, and there's like so many. I was going to bring up, like, there's so many levels to this story now that, like, I don't even really know if I have the bandwidth to, like, engage in the whole, like, what does this mean for ESPN and Fox and all that, Andy? But you think that dynamic has changed now, too?
Well, suddenly you have more inventory in the Big Ten, and you're about to do a TV deal.
Yeah.
Like, do you add – because
– and we knew, obviously, the Big Ten deal had reached a certain juncture in terms of, you know, Fox getting a significant
most
part
of
it.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're Fox, you no longer have to pay for the Pac-12. Now, maybe you're paying for the Big 12 and getting what the good of what's left of the Pac-12, but you don't have to pay for the Pac-12 anymore. So you can pay the Big 10 that. And also, you know, the assumption was it was going to be a split between Fox and ESPN, but now you can add a third or fourth package because you have so much inventory. And do you throw a package at CBS or NBC? Do you throw a package at Apple TV Plus or Amazon Prime? Like a one game a week package? Why not? I mean, the options are limitless at this point.
Depending on whether the Big Ten flips the coin and goes with CBS or NBC. If it's NBC or if NBC is left out, and the Big 12 grabs those four mountain area schools, and then you have BYU and Texas schools in there, that's a perfect night to end with after Notre Dame. You could play Arizona at night against Utah or Texas Tech or whatever. So, you know, the Kliavkov is in really a dangerous situation, because if you're left with Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State after this, I don't even know what you do at that point.
I mean, the biggest issue I think here is I'm afraid there aren't going to be very many games to kick off at 11 Eastern that have over-unders of 77. So, like, let's hope that they figure out a way to preserve that.
Because you remember, it's not that long ago that there was this whole big noon kickoff issue and all the certain schools just being like, hell no, we're not doing that.
Now we know when USC and UCLA will be doing big noon kickoff when they're in Columbus and Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Oregon had to do it last year and won.
Yeah, without some of their best players. So
didn't that feel like a long time ago, Ari?
We haven't
think about everything that's changed in my life since then. Yeah, it does.
We haven't talked about the games yet. Like,
God, you're right.
USC Michigan's a conference game. Somebody texted me a tweet that got sent out a couple hours ago by some guy named Harrison. We're 2 years away from Lincoln Riley blaming a 6-hour plane ride for a 20-13 Friday night loss on the road to Rutgers.
Totally.
Oh, has man. USC like 0-17 in their last 17 Friday night games, by the way?
They're always getting sent to Pullman.
Landis tweeted that
Pullman
thank God
or Corvallis on a Friday.
The Big Ten finally has good fish tacos. Big Ten Media Day in Las Vegas. But like,
Scott,
how
is that going to play among the Big Ten members? You think, Scott?
Going to California?
Like, I mean, obviously, you're only talking about USC and UCLA playing. What do you think? Four or five home games a year.
Yeah, four or five if they continue the nine
in conference play. So, you know, in terms of how they rotate, who makes up those 4 to 5?
It's really going to depend on how they go
about
it.
Maybe they keep expanding, right? Maybe that kind of solves the question a little bit if you've got more West Coast schools.
Yeah, I mean, if there's 18 schools then in the Big Ten, you know, how do you do the rotations or whatever? Do you pick, you know, everybody get three rivals and then just kind of cycle through everybody else? You know, I think if there's one school, to me, Max, you could tell me more, but I think Nebraska would be really excited about this because, you know, Nebraska's been an odd fit to some extent in the Big Ten. They've made some inroads with maybe Iowa and Wisconsin as being semi-rivals, but now there is a more of a connection. There's the Calabrasca recruiting that they've so wanted to get a part of that didn't really work, but still.
I mean, got fired, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah. But they played these teams before a non-conference action. I don't know. I think, you know, maybe Nebraska decides, hey, well, sign me up for a annual rivalry per se with UCLA or USC or even both, and where you're playing in California every year. And then that loosens up a Minnesota to play somebody else with more regularity. And maybe it's just Iowa on Black Friday that's the one they play every year.
Yeah, Nebraska's done home and homes with both. In the last 20 years, they've done home and homes with USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon. And I'm probably forgetting more. So, yeah, I'm sure they're fine with it.
Do equipment bus drivers, like, have to leave on Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like,
the price of gas better be different in 24, huh?
I was going to say,
the Big Ten will be able to afford all that diesel.
It's a 41-hour drive from L.A. to Piscataway, 2,754 miles.
Throw it all in the Dreamliner. Eric Decker asks, can we call the USC versus Michigan State game the battle for Greece? So you've got the Trojans versus the Spartans, both of which famously lost. I mean, the Spartans put up a hell of a fight, but they lost. Yeah. And the Trojans got tricked, and they lost. So,
now, Art, do you think Michigan State should recruit in California more?
He's patronizing me.
That's a trap. I'm just letting
you know. Yeah, we haven't even talked about recruiting once. Okay, well, there will be a time and place for it.
Let's talk about it now because, if I'm any school in the SEC or the Big Ten, all I'm saying at this point is if I feel like I'm at least threatened at all by an ACC school or a Big 12 school or Pac-12 school, why in the world would you go there? Those leagues are falling apart.
Do you think it's going to be harder for – it's already hard. Obviously, it's already hard. Is it going to be harder for the California kids to want to stay home?
Oh, I think they probably want to go now to USC or to USC or UCLA. If you're going to be playing in Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, playing in some impactful games rather than going to Corvallis or Pullman or wherever, and they're going to be on TV. They're
going to
be
still
on
going to West Lafayette, Scott, although that's not a place that I'd want to go this year, particularly.
I can tell you that there's some spats going on between the black and golds of the world in that one. But anyway, you're going to go to Champagne once in a while, but you're still going to have more viewers than you do, you know, playing at 9:30 on a Saturday night on FS1.
And how much worse is the trip to West Lafayette than it would be to go to Pullman anyway? What's an extra hour on a plane, but you're still in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. You're just going, you know,
you're just going in a different direction, maybe a little bit further, but you know,
and you might see some cool Drew Brees related memorabilia instead of some,
there is nothing better than driving.
You know what?
Memorabilia. I don't know.
Indiana. The truth is they'll recruit better because they'll be in the league that makes all the money.
Right.
Yeah. It's simple. That's probably the truth.
Yeah. And I do think this probably makes USC a more attractive destination. UCLA though, I mean, they're not exactly lighting the world on fire in the Pac-12. Now they face tougher competition in the Big Ten. Now, I UCLA has never seemed to be that concerned with whether they're incredibly successful in football. So I don't know if that matters to them, but this definitely is an interesting one because they are in a good place. They're going to be making a lot more money now. You know, they've had their financial issues. Under Armour bailed on their deal with them, and they had to deal with all that stuff. Yeah. Now they're going to be getting a pretty steady paycheck. Does that elevate them as a football program, or do they just kind of stay right where they are?
I think you look at Maryland as the example. Maryland's had the same type of financial issues and is in a populated area. And if they have the right coach and they're in Southern California, and now especially if Oregon and Washington don't join the Big Ten, then I think it has a chance to separate itself in California, because USC not only recruits California, but more nationally. They could be more of the California recruiting giant. And I think that they would be in great shape. And then I know this is primarily a football issue, but you know, the hardwood, Pauley Pavilion and Indiana basketball and some of the other teams, that would be awfully fascinating as well.
Well, this is hard to forecast, obviously, and probably futile, but like, Scott, do you think that the Big Ten would just move on to making its next deal? You know what I mean? Whether it's the next Pac-12 schools or the Big Ten, or like, do you think this will settle down for a little bit, or do you think Big Ten's like, should we just continue to operate like this ain't over anytime soon for the Big Ten?
I think right now you put the foot on the gas and go. Yeah. If that means call Jack Swarbrick, that's call, Phil Knight, you know, the owner at Oregon, you know, Washington, everybody, you know, just say, what can you do? You
know, make 51 seconds ago, John Wilner, who originally broke the UCLA USC story, tweeted, source, don't assume the Big Ten is done. And we're not assuming that. Oregon, Washington, we're watching you very closely. I'm doing I'm pointing at my eyes and then pointing at you guys thing. This podcast may or may not make it up tomorrow morning. We'll see if it's still the podcast for Friday when it comes out.
You better hit publish on this. We got to wrap this and hit publish as soon as possible before it's all totally wrong.
This feels like a very good time to wrap things up. This may not be the only one of these we do today. I'm just going to say it right now. Like, I don't know about you guys. I know we all have to go talk to some people, do some writing, that sort of thing. I may be seeing a couple of you again. Just saying.
Big Ten after dark, baby.
That's right. Guys, it's going to be a wild next few days. Happy college football offseason.